Let me read to you just a moment, a little bit more scripture than we had in the bulletin. But as for you, this is from 2 Timothy as well. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. What we're talking about, of course, is getting rid of weeds. We've talked about this for a few weeks now. I remember a story to get into what weed we're going to deal with today, or how we're going to deal with it, what tool we're going to do. Visiting with a family that, as we sat down together, there in the middle of the coffee table was a beautiful Bible. It was obviously a family heirloom. And I said, you know, it's wonderful that you've got God's holy word right there. And the father, who wanted to be impressive, said, oh, yes, yes, we like to keep God's book close. It's near it at all times. But their smart alecky 12-year-old said cynically, well, if that's God's book, then we should give it back to him because nobody around here ever opens it. Yeah. Opening and reading your Bible. That's the tool we're talking about today. Now, in this series, we've talked about different things that you can do to get rid of weeds, clean up your life, get things better for you. And that really is the point. It's not to take away your fun or make things difficult. It's to make things better and to make them easier. Because I believe, some of those weeds can just hold you back. They're things that you don't need, things that aren't helpful to you. And we've talked about prayer last week. That was pretty significant. And we've talked about community. We've talked about how we are to be in constant prayer for the people that we love, the people around us, and as a church. But this tool, this one is big, because this is about the Word of God, the Bible. Now, I wish that there was some good news for us here about how we are so much better at other people than using this tool. But if prayer is an often neglected tool, and if community is often neglected as well, this one really does take a back seat. Here's a poem. They lie on the table side by side, the holy book and the TV guide. One is well worn and cherished with pride, not the Bible, but the TV guide. One is used daily to help folks decide, not the Bible, but the TV guide. And as pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, what does it matter? Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide, not the Bible, the TV guide. The Word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse before they fall into bed, exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, but watching TV. And then back to the table, side by side, no time for prayer, no time for the Word. The plan of salvation is seldom heard, but forgiveness of sins, so full and free, is found in the Bible, not on TV. Yeah, it was pretty good, except for the TV guide part, which I knew none of you have ever had a TV guide in like a million years. I know that. But I guess you embrace the understanding. Presbyterians are people of the Word. One of the great traditions of our faith is that we require every minister before ordination to be able to read and translate Greek and Hebrew. Bill, I know, it was the annoyance of generations of pastors. Wasn't that the truth? I mean, I even knew when I was doing it that this is not going to be fun. I mean, learning Hebrew was interesting. Went to Israel, could not order a pizza. I mean, it's so difficult. But we are so serious about how we handle this book that we want our ministers, those who speak from the pulpit, to be able to go back to the original documents and translate it for themselves. I like to remind people that I translated the entire book of Micah. And then they reminded me that Micah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. But we use the Bible, we use Scripture all over this place. Everywhere that you go, there's something to be said about Scripture. We use it on Sunday morning in all of our worship. The truth of God's Word comes through in hymns, it comes through in prayers, it comes through in readings. Throughout the worship service, you see that. We use the Bible in our Sunday school classes. We use them in our small groups. One of the more interesting ways that it is used is that Celebrate Recovery, which is the tremendous mission project, one of the most important projects of our church, that reaches into the lives of people that are struggling. And we can offer them help. But do you know what we offer them? We don't offer them good feelings. We don't offer them incentives. We offer them God's Word. It's woven into everything that they do. Every time that they gather together, they read God's Word. They understand God's Word. So even in Celebrate Recovery, which is an outreach program, we're using God's Word. But why do we do that? Why do we use the Bible so much? Why do we have it so much in our service? What difference does the Bible make? So turn to 2 Timothy and 3:17, the third chapter, 16 and 17, and this is Paul's charge to Timothy. He says to him, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the men of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a better description of a tool is possible than that? The Bible is, first of all, useful. There's a richness and a value in the Bible that cannot be found in anything else. Now, maybe you've heard the story of the parents who gave their son a Bible when he went off to college. Yeah, he gave him a Bible and said, here, take this, and we want you to read this. This will be helpful for you. And he said, sure, Mom, no problem. Dad, I'll take it. And he took it, put it on his shelf, and never touched it. And every couple of weeks, he would write to his parents and send a little text and say, you know, I could use a little bit of money. And they'd say, no problem. Go read your Scripture. Go read 1 John 7:17. And at the time that he came home, he had his Bible with him, and he said, Mom, why, you know, I needed some money. You guys never helped me out. What was the deal? And they said, well, did you go read your Bible? Oh, I did. I read it every time. He said, yeah. Well, look, here's John 7:17. There was a $100 bill right there. And if you went over here, there was a $20 there. I mean, and this sort of thing really did happen. Somebody has said that if we don't live with our Bible, if we don't use our Bibles, we miss this tremendous resource. So many of us miss out on the riches that God wants to give us simply because we do not read this wonderful book. It promises us grace and strength for the challenges that we face. But if we don't read it, we don't know that. Someone once said, a Bible in the hand is worth two in the bookcase. And someone else said, a Bible stored in the mind is worth a dozen stored at the bottom of somebody's drawers. You know, as people who say that we live by the Bible, we really don't know it all that well, do we? It's funny. It's sad at the same time. You know, a new book comes out for young people. Remember when Harry Potter was so hot? A new Harry Potter book came out, 800 pages. I knew countless teenagers who pored over that throughout the weekend until they had every little bit in their heads. Meanwhile, most of the Christians I know don't read their Bible at all. Not even in a whole year could they come through it. And so we're going to change that for you. Right here, I have a Bible for you. Now, you might say, well, I have one. Good. Where is it? Okay, if you didn't bring it with you, you can use this one. This is a free Bible. And it goes through, I took it home today because I knew that the church had been giving these away since before I was here. And I thought, you know, let me see what this thing is. It's a daily walk, every day, scripture passage, help you understand what that scripture passage is. And everybody that's using this is reading the same scripture passage. See, people come in my office and they'll say, hey, I read today's scripture passage in the daily walk, and this is what I was thinking about it. And I was like, you know, I haven't done that. I haven't done that Bible yet. And so I have one for you. Actually, I have, there's six of them up here, and I got four more in the back of the room. You want one? Come up and pick it up. Take it with you. Simple as that. No strings attached. It's right here. Okay? Covered on that? All right. You have an opportunity to take a Bible with you. Surveys tell us that 43% of American adults do not read the Bible during a typical week. Almost half of Americans. That's heartbreaking. It's sad because this means that one of our greatest resources of hope is neglected by so many people. And while Presbyterians value God's word, if you look in our other book of inspiration, some would say deep theology, our hymn book, you will see that it is woven into that as well. The songs that we sing, there's an index in there that has every bit of scripture and how those hymns match that. So both of our books are critical for learning about God and being in touch with God. The Bible calls itself many things: a light, a fire, a hammer, a rock, a lamp, a double-edged sword of the Spirit, and a treasure map. It's sweeter than honey and more valuable than 1,000 pieces of gold and silver. God's words are the source of joy for the psalmist's heart, as well as his source of strength. It is a giver of peace and a keeper of purity. It will never fail. It will endure when the rest of this world passes away. Above all, the words of God are all important. And yet, we argue about it. We argue about particular interpretations of verses. We argue about translations and versions of the Bible. We get lost on these bunny hunts that lead nowhere, and the message of God has, for us, gets lost somehow. We're so busy fighting with others about His Word that we can't see God through His Word. One of the big arguments that I had with a friend of mine in seminary is that my wife's aunt said, "What Bible should I be reading?" Well, this is the Bible that I wanted her to read, the NIV Study Bible. It's a great Bible. Absolutely fabulous. If you want one, you can't have this one. This one's mine, and I got all kinds of written stuff in it, but it's a great Bible. But she said, somebody gave me the Reader's Digest Bible, and I thought, well, that's the Bible that you should read. And she thought it was delightful. She loved it. It's a good Bible. But I went back to seminary, and I told one of my friends, and he said, oh, that is absolutely ridiculous. Why would anybody want to read a Reader's Digest Bible? I said to him, his name was Carl, I said, Carl, you realize she's reading it, right? Well, yeah, but it's not, no, just step back for a second, because the Bible that you would want to give her that she doesn't read is not better than the Bible that she's got that she does. So you see, we will argue about these silly things about which Bible is which, but just the one that you read, the one that you love, that's the one that you should have. But people, we will do that. We're reminded above all else that God's Word is useful. Scripture is the Word of God. It's inspired by God, or God-breathed, as it says. It means that God inspired, breathed His words into the minds of people over the centuries, that different people used different words to convey God's meaning. That is, Peter spoke simply as an unschooled fisherman would. Luke spoke as a doctor, often using medical terms to get God's point across. The Psalms were written by musicians so that they have this poetic ring to them. God took different personalities, used them to speak to us, and we believe that the Bible is God's words to us as a sinful people. And yet, many of us don't look at it. Here's a pop quiz. And you can raise your hand if you want to. How many of you think that these words are in the Bible? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Anybody? God helps those who help themselves. Confession is good for the soul. We are as prone to sin as sparks fly upward. Yeah, I know you're a little bit antsy on that one. Money is the root of all evil. Honesty is the best policy. Okay. Now, while almost all of those are true, or partially true, none of them are in the Bible. We have learned to treat man's opinions with as much respect as the Bible. So what is it useful for? Our passage today goes on to say that the Scriptures are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. That is, it is meant to teach the will of God and to point us to Jesus. It is meant to convince people of the truth. It's meant to correct wrong ideas about how God and man are supposed to get along. And it also is meant to help us know how to live in a world, to live upright in a world that is crooked. The Bible is meant to fill us with the knowledge of how to live for God in our faith and in our families and in our society. And the Bible is useful in helping us to see God's plans for our lives. But it is more than just that. It's more than just knowledge. We have so many Bible studies in the church. It's as if we believe that knowledge about the Bible is what will save us. But it's not knowing that saves us. It's putting into practice that which God tells us to do, and what God is interested in us doing. D.L. Moody said, "The Scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. The Bible is not meant to be a book of facts and trivia, but it is meant to change lives." And maybe that's why we are not into it more than we are, because most of us really aren't interested in changing our lives. We don't like to be told what to do on one part. We don't want to be told what attitudes don't please God. We don't like to be told on how we're supposed to feel and if we're feeling is wrong. We don't like to be told that the sins we cling to will one day eat us alive. Mark Twain, not exactly a diehard Christian, said one time that most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture that they do not understand, but the passages that bother me are the ones that I do understand. Read your Bible. Now, for some of you, 10 minutes a day is way more than you're doing. Some of you have lost the joy of serving God. Maybe it's leaked out when you stopped listening to what God had to say to you. Folks, God's word is like, it's like sunblock in your beach bag when you go out in the summer to the beach. If you don't put it on, it doesn't work. You've got to apply it. You've got to make it work. So, as I said, we've got Daily Walk Bibles for you. This should be a step for some of you, the first step that you've ever taken for reading every day. But most of you, I think, probably have your Bibles someplace, and you love it, perhaps, but it's so easy to let it sit. So make it applicable. Make it. Find a way to make it apply. And I love this story. This is a story. It's one of my final stories to today, anyway. A young man was in seminary. He was very devout about using Scripture for everything that he had to do in life. So if he was going to do something, he would find that Scripture that would just shape his thoughts. It was perfect until he got a girlfriend. Yeah. And every night, he would take her home after a date. He wanted to kiss her, but he couldn't find Scripture passage to back it up. And so, and they really struggled with it. He talked to his professors, and they're like, I don't know, there's nothing in there about kissing after a date or something like that. So one night, he walked her up to the front door, and he's very awkward and kind of going back and forth. Well, good night, I had a really good time. And she lunges over and gives him a really big kiss. And he's like, scripture passage. She said, and her response, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We get so much more out of the Bible when we let it get inside of us. Today, even today, let the voice of God speak through the Scriptures throughout this worship service. Speak to your heart and change your heart. Cleaning out the weeds. Getting rid of these weeds. How are you doing? Because this is an important one. This is one that can make a big difference. So on these weeds, you may think, well, my life is so full of weeds, I can't even start. But that's not true. Because when God looks at you, he does not see weeds. What he sees is a child that he loves so dearly that he sent his son to die for you, to help you with this. There is no better, great, good news than that. And folks, it's really not more complicated than that. I know denominations and churches that really kind of get all bent out of shape about these kinds of things and point their fingers and judge. And the reality is everybody's broken. Everybody has weeds. It's like I have one more. But in the grocery store, where a man named Bass Mitchell, he watched the damaged goods bin there by the front, by the cash register. Some of the cans in there were a little bit crumpled. This is one of those discount stores, and so they weren't going to throw them away. And he was a pretty regular customer, but he would see people would walk right past it. But this one man made a beeline to it, and that was the first place that he went to go buy things. And he said, you know, to him, why are you buying those? And he said, well, there's nothing wrong with them, really. I mean, it's just a little bent up on the inside. It's as good as the ones on the shelves. And it's what's on the inside that's important. There is someone, friends, who is always on the lookout for things that are battered and broken and bent. And it doesn't matter to him how out of shape you may be or what weeds you've got in your life or how damaged you are, because he looks on the inside. You might seem as worthless as damaged goods to others or in your own eyes, but not to him. To him, you are of great worth. You are valued goods. So valued, he purchased you with his own life. So come out of that damaged bin that you don't belong in anymore. That's not for you. You have been bought with a price. You and all of your weeds and all of the things that you struggle with, they don't matter anymore because Jesus Christ paid for those. And now he calls you to live a life of hope and joy of laughter, fullness, completeness, and all of that. So let's pray for that. As we say goodbye to the weeds, next Sunday we're going to talk about the children because it's Vacation Bible School, and the title of the sermon is No Nikes in the Narthex, Please. And the scripture passage is when Moses was walking through the, I almost said Noah was walking through the desert to see if I could catch any of you. I was walking through the desert and he came upon the burning bush and he was told, take your shoes off. I think you'll enjoy that. Let's turn to God. Father, we are so thankful that you give us this wonderful book. And for many of us, we have studied it diligently and set it aside. Others, we've never had a chance to look at it and set it aside. It's so sad because it's such a wonderful resource for us, but most of us haven't a clue where even to start. So open our eyes and our hearts to this great, great device for communication with you, to build a relationship with you. We ask you to open our eyes and our hearts to the messages that we find there, but also to you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.